Matthew 13, 1 to 9, 8, and 18 to 23. The parable of the farmer scattering seed. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Others fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 18 goes on to say, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted.
The parable of the farmer scattering seeds. This parable is in three of the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. I suspect you're aware that when the Bible was originally written, there were no chapters, there were no verses, and there were no nice little headings to explain what you're about to read. The headings came around about the 11th or 12th century. And if you look in your Bibles, doesn't matter which version you've got, I will almost guarantee it will say something like, just before you read these verses, something like, the parable of the sower, or the parable of the farmer scattering seed. Well, this morning, I want to tell you a story. We used to have tortoises, Sue and I, Flash and Gordon. And we loved our tortoises. Our boys loved our tortoises. The tortoises actually ended up in the will, my will, because it was well known that they were going to outlive either Sue or I, and that Stephen and Matthew both very much wanted to take possession of the tortoises when we departed this mortal coil. Tortoises have a long lifespan. The problem is, Stephen has moved to New Zealand, and Matthew no longer wants the tortoises. So the tortoises have gone to their next forever home. They are now with Jared and Alice, and the kids there who are looking after them, and they're doing very, very well. The problem is, the tortoises had what was known in our house as the tortoise lawn, right at the top of our garden. And you wouldn't think they could cause much trouble, could you? But tortoises tear up the soil, they love to bury themselves and dig. So we end up with this sort of wasteland area. And when I had my big accident in 2020, I spent a lot of time flat on my back, on the sofa, looking at the garden because I couldn't do anything else. And it became apparent that this area of ground was niggling me. And bless him, Joe, my friend Joe over here, he said to me one time, is there anything I can do to help, Martin? And I had this brainwave. Sue doesn't think it was a brainwave. My brainwave was, what about if we turned that into a wildflower meadow? It would be beautiful. It would create a haven for all the insects and the buzzy bees, and it would be a wonderful thing to have. So I duly purchased, this is just some of those I've got left, duly purchased wildflower seeds. And Joe came along and he ripped up the weeds and he dug it over and he cultivated it and he raked it. And all I could do was watch. I couldn't help at all. And Joe did this, and then we got to the point where I could scatter the seeds. It was relatively easy to scatter seeds. I had no idea how many I should use, but I had this great idea that in life generally, more is better than less. You can tell the horticulturalists, they're the ones shaking their head at this point. He's groaning quietly behind me. And so I probably overdid it. But I scattered the seeds, and then Joe and I waited. And waited. And waited. And we're going to come back to this story. You see, I wonder what you thought as Sue read the parable of the sower to us earlier. Were your thoughts somewhere along the lines of, well, I know where this is going. I've heard this so many times. Well, there's nothing new here then, is there? And I suspect you're right. But we know also that Jesus commissioned us to be sowers and to sow good seed. In John chapter 20, verses 20 to 22, he says this. He says, as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. So this is after the resurrection. They were filled with joy. That's the disciples. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is not an accident that we are called to be sowers of seed. It's part of Jesus' commission to us. And notice how we rely on the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Someone said it in the worship this morning, I think it was Ben. We can't do it on our own. We were promised a helper. Then in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it's known as the Great Commission. Again, your little header in your Bible will say, the Great Commission. And I'm going to read it to you from the Message. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and he gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. So go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then instruct them in the practice of all I've commanded you. And I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. So God tells us that Jesus tells us he's going to send us his Holy Spirit to help us. And God has commissioned Jesus to commission us to say, you're part of the big plan. But don't worry, you're not in this on your own. I'm going to be with you. Now, I think if we're honest, sometimes when we hear verses like these, when we read them, we'd like to pretend that we haven't. It would be easier, wouldn't it? I'd rather not have that commission, thank you, God. We say things like, well, I understand what you're saying, but it's really not my gifting. Or, I don't know what to say. I'll leave it to the professionals. Of course, I think if we're honest, we would all love our friends and our family and our work colleagues to come to know Jesus. We would love them to have the certainty of eternal life. We don't want anyone to go to hell, do we? We want that. But God, please do it through someone else and not me. Well, I still think God wants to involve us in the process. None of us can convert anyone. That's something God does. That's something he works in the Holy Spirit. What we can do is we can pray for a revelation to come that people see and hear and experience and encounter Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul in his book to the Romans drops two bombshells. This is the first one. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. If we can get over our hang-up of our possible embarrassment, what will they think? Will they still be my friend? My experience is no one has ever stopped being my friend because I'm a Christian. There might be other reasons, but it's not because I'm a Christian, because I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It changed my life forever, and I want it to change other people's lives. So later on, Paul addresses this issue of how then are people going to hear about Jesus? How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. That was Phil Knox's talk, wasn't it? We are good news people in a bad news world. We've got good news to give. We just need to give it. So let's leave that behind and go back to my garden. I know some of you breathe a sigh of relief. You'd rather be with the tortoises and the seeds. But this is what it looked like. This was summer of 2021. I know it looks like a bit of an opium den. I wasn't expecting there to be so many poppies, nor were we expecting them to be 3-4 foot high. This dwarf wildflower mix lied. So, this scrubby lawn that Joe had dug and weeded and raked looked stunningly beautiful. But here's the thing. The flowers were not just where Joe had dug and weeded. We had poppies in all sorts of places. In the veg box that contains the rhubarb. In the area that Sue had sown her sweet peas. In the cracks between all the stones. I've got a stone pile where we just chuck stones because I don't know what to do with. In the cracks in the path. Now, I wish I had taken photographs of those flowers too. We don't tend to, do we? We just want to display the wonder and the splendor. But I found these. the seeds had gone everywhere. And this, I think, is the message. Some of these flowers looked even more beautiful because they were in barren settings. They grew up in places we weren't expecting them. And I think the problem is that when we read this parable for Jesus, we think, well, I'll only put my efforts and my energies into the well-tilled, well-prepared soil. There's no point in doing anything else, is there? What a waste of time that would be. But you see, this isn't called the parable of the four different soil types. It's not called the parable of where your seeds will grow best. It's called the parable of the sower. And I wondered, why is this? Well, I think it's because the sower sowed his seeds generously, with abandon. He sowed his seeds. Yes, he wanted it to go into good soil, but he just kept sowing. This, not a history lesson, but this is how they would have sowed seeds. They would have a great big pouch full of seeds, and one hand they would have walked up and down throwing the seeds out. I wonder if there is a lesson here for us, that we should be generous sowers of seeds. Do we sometimes exclude sowing our good news to people because they're never going to want to know? And yet, that could be the seed that falls in the crack of a dry and parched life, that comes forth and brings beauty when no one expected it. Or what about the seeds that fell among the thorns? There was a picture there, top left. How many times will you look at wheat fields and you find all these poppies in amongst them? And they attract the eye and they bring glory. This, I think, is what we need to do. We need to be prepared to sow seeds, to just be wild abandoned sowing good news seeds, to be good news people in a bad news world. And what does that look like? Do you know, they didn't know I was going to embarrass them, but Jason and Fiona occasionally have barbecues. They invite all sorts of people to their barbecues. People in the church, people not in the church, people of their contacts, friends, family. And you get this great mix of people. But there's good news. Those who don't know Jesus meet those who do know Jesus. And we share good news. So maybe this adage of mine of more is better, when it comes to gospel sowing, is actually a biblical one. And I think the message I'd like you to take with you today is, let's be generous sowers of seeds. Let's throw good news everywhere, not just on the neatly prepared areas. Not just for the people that we prayed about for years and years and years, but maybe that chance encounter at the bus stop, or that chance encounter at the supermarket, that chance encounter you have at the school gate. I was reading a Twitter thing this morning when Sue was still asleep and I was awake at silly o'clock. And it was a chap who said, I was on my motorcycle driving along the road, he said, and I saw a broken down car. And I stopped. In it, there was an old lady. This old lady didn't have a mobile phone. She'd been there for 2 hours when I passed and no one had stopped. He said, so I stopped. I used my phone, we called someone. And he said, I waited with her until a mechanic came. And when the mechanic came, he was able to sort the car quickly. I decided to ride behind her until she got to her home. I wanted to make sure she got home safe. He said, it took about an hour out of my day. But when I got there, he said, bear in mind, I'm 6'4". This little lady was under 5 foot. She wanted to hug me. It was one of the more awkward hugs of my life, he said. But she said I was the best thing that had happened to her in months. Sometimes it just takes us to step out of what we normally do and be prepared to generously sow. When it got to the end of this tweet, it said, At no point did anyone question whether I was wearing a dog collar or not. It turns out he was a motorcycling vicar. And he was then a little bit late for church. But what a great story of how we just stop, observe, be good news sharers. One Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8 say this. It says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seeds grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. As I said earlier, it's not us that converts, but we can be seed throwers. We can be those who toss out good news, toss out seed, those who have a good news message. So here's my question. What does your seed look like? How do you share good news? What's the context within which you can share? And this isn't, please don't get me wrong, this isn't Bible bashing. This isn't a question of trying to nail someone. Do you know John 3:16? Let me tell you about Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is, Romans 6:23. That's not what it is. It's allowing people to see the good news, the way Jesus has changed us and given us hope and a future. It's the way that we see that this good news can change someone else's life. So I wonder, what's your good news? How will you gossip good news? How will you spread good seed? Proverbs 25:25 says, good news from a faraway land is like a cool drink of water when you're hot and thirsty. For those we talk to often, the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus talked about with this parable, often that kingdom can seem so, so far away. And yet when we bring good news from the kingdom of God, it's like a drink of fresh water when you're hot and tired and thirsty. And surely that's what we all want to do, isn't it? We want to be those who bring good news, who refresh. So what are we doing? Well, as a church, we felt, as a church leadership, we felt, impacted. I hate the word, but that's what it is. It sensed that God was speaking to us. As Phil Knox was talking, it sort of reinforced something that we have been thinking about for a while, that how do we, as a church, take this good news out? How do we help you, and how do you help us to be those who gossip good news, fling out good seed? In the past, we've called them things like stepping stones. The baptism we had at Steve's farm. It was like a great big party with good news right at the heart of it. The ladies did a craft event just before Christmas. People loved it. What about if we did more of those and invited our friends? Richard's done film nights for the guys and would do other things. Bring friends along. These are events which are not cringe, but sharing good news. What about a fish and chip night? Maybe get in a speaker, but it might be you've got other ideas. Maybe these don't scratch where you itch. Give us your thoughts, give us your ideas. How do we, what can we do that you would love to invite your friends along to? What can you do that we would love to invite our friends to? Let us know. We only want to be doing stuff if it's going to be helpful. If you've got ideas, let us know. Because we are good news people in a bad news world. And when we share our good news, it's like a cool drink of water when you're hot and thirsty. So let us go out. Throw the good news seed out. Let's be generous. Let's adopt a principle of more is better. And I want to remind you of something you all sang earlier on. You said, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up in our hearts, Lord, a passion for your name. do you know, we could just sit and do nothing. And nothing would change. But we could sow. Trust that God would let the seed grow, help the seed grow. Trust that God would help bring about a harvest. Trust that God, in his infinite wisdom, will bring more people into his kingdom. And as he does that, that's when our work really starts, as we disciple, train, and help others to see the glory that is the kingdom of God. Thank you so much for listening. Go sow some seed.